track that you have either recorded or worked with, give us one quick reference to something that you've done that you're proudest of.
Well, most of my stuff has been live.
So come see the band.
Yeah, all the time. Hopefully every night is great. That's you know, it's consistency more than it is one specific thing, you know. I'm always trying to get the same sounding show from hopefully the same performance every night, you know. So there's a lot of variables there. I'd say any show I do, I would say come see it, and that's proof's in the pudding there.
What are you think you've got the best vocals?
The best vocals out of? Honestly, there's been a lot of different things, but with Olivia Newton-John, it wasn't my vocal mic choice necessarily. She's been using a Beta 87 for probably as long as I've been alive. But she, you know, she's just used to that. It's what she uses. But she knows how to work that where it really doesn't matter what's happening around her. That mic always sounds great.
Without a doubt, it's the Alison Krauss stuff. She's just a...
didn't you get an award for that?
Right. Yeah, we did. We did. But just as a musician, as a vocalist, it's always a great experience being in the studio with her.
Between the second and third, first and second Lady A record, there was an iTunes series that came out that we kept down at near Warner Brothers, and I had to have two of the principals in the same room just for separating them from the band. We were limited on ISO booths, and somebody that wasn't a musician booked it. And I had spec'd out mics for the principals that day, I brought in my Stephen Paul 87, and which I love, and I know, or I think would have worked well on Charles, one of the acts, or one of the principals. And when he put his headphones on, he goes, "Hey," and he puts the headphones back on the music stand, and he walks out of the control room, or out of the ISO booth, we're already running late, and he calls Paul Worley, the producer that had really, to this date, done all the Lady A records, and he goes, "Hey, here's Scoop, tell him what you did." And they used that mic. It really wasn't, it was the same preamp and the same compressor after the fact that they were using there. Mm-hmm. But Paul and Clark called me to get that 87 in for his vocals. And that was an iTunes thing. It's probably the coolest show. Flip side of that was we had put Hillary on a dynamic for that recording to try to minimize the bleed from Charles, who was singing louder. And later on, in fact, this last Lady A record, Hillary sang the whole record on an RE20. So, you know, kind of know your act, and I don't know, man. I like the mic. I thought it was a cool thing.
You know, to me, it's always about the singer, and just matching that. This album that I just finished, they just mastered it yesterday. It's the guy that sounds like somewhere between Sinatra and Nat King Cole, and we just found the mic. And I mean, when he opens his voice, like I said, it's his 10th album, and he's a pastor in Mansfield, Texas. That's who he is, but everybody that's heard the roughs and the final mixes so far just says, they never comment about the production, they don't comment about the music, they don't comment about anything. It's just, they listen to it, and they get about 20 or 30 seconds in, and they go, "Oh my gosh, listen to that voice." And it's like, okay, that's, you know, my job's done. So that's all that matters.
Well, there's no saying to. Nobody ever goes away humming the model of the microphone.
That's it. Or the console. Bingo.
Oh,
that's
so
what was the question?
I hope you win the door.
Well, that's actually relevant probably to what I was thinking. Most of the things that when I look back and things that I really enjoy doing, it had nothing to do with the technology.
Yeah.
And that may be because I come from the performing side of it, too. I did a Levon Helm live at the Ryman a few years ago that was really a magical night. And it was magical not because of anything technical, although we did record it in an analog truck with knee freeze, and it was really done all totally analog signal path, which I do think helped. But it was, what's memorable about it is that because Levon was getting on up in years, everybody, I think, that came on the show and sang and did the ramble with him, they were cognizant that, that their time was limited. And I think that's what made it magic. And there was one I did a couple of years ago. Again, it was nothing technical. It was a crossroads for CMT, and it was Martina McBride and Train. And it was a really interesting night because they were such good singers that when they encountered each other, they had never met, when they encountered each other on stage singing, it really electrified each of them. And there were things about that night that were really wonderful because of the emotion of it. Mm-hmm. Another one, I think I tend to really enjoy the ones that I'm doing right now. You know, at the moment, they tend to be my favorites. I've been working on a Mavericks live DVD. We're just about to finish it tomorrow or Monday. But it's a really nice one, too, and it's the same thing. It's the because they are in the midst of a reunion, there's a lot of magic going on between them because there's been 10 years since they really played together. So in recording it, what I noticed, particularly watching it back and mixing, is you see a lot of things happen between them that's kind of, you can see them rekindling with each other. And it makes kind of a really interesting magic in the performance that you wouldn't get if it was somebody that's playing the same show night after night after night after night. So those are the things that I think I tend to remember is where you get magic performances. Of course, you have to do all the technical things that you can to make sure that you capture it so that you have it, you know, that you have a record of what happened. But I find a lot of times the things that I really remember are the things where you see where the music interaction was happening. And if you're lucky enough to get all that and to be able to present it so that others can experience it, that's the things that I really remember and enjoy the most.
To me, it's about having the technology there and staying out of the way.
Yeah. And that's not to say technology is not important, but I take the knowledge of that with me for granted and use all that to do the other thing, which is to try to capture music as it happens, because that's what people react to.
Well, and the key is to get the technology right on the front end so that when the music and the magic is happening, the technology stays away out of the way.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just like, it's just gone. We don't think about it. It's just like, we're just making music.
Right.
Well, technology should not be a crutch for some bad performance or bad sound. You know, it should stay out of the way, but you have to use the technology that enhances mm-hmm. whatever comes out there. My two favorite sessions, one was Jolene Turner, which I did Randy Rhoads' tribute album, and he was on the Elux 251. And the other one was an artist from Canada, it's Maria, and she sang on a Beyer MC740, which I use a lot for female vocals. Mm-hmm. And it was just to the point where we both had tears in our eyes, you know, when the track was done. And to me, that's the most important thing to come across. But those were the two ones that stood out. Jolene is one of my personally favorite singers. So I got him in the studio. I got to work with him, and right there, it's just like, you know. So, but those two for me.
That's great. Yeah, what comes to mind for me when you ask that question? Probably because I played a track off of it last week at a listening session we'd had. Is a Janice Ian. I did a record in the early mid '90s. With her called Breaking Silence. And Janice prides herself on how she works the mic, not having a compressor. That's a big deal. So she really understood that. I used a Telefunken 47, not a Neumann, a Telefunken 47 with a Telefunken V76M preamp, old tube preamp. And that was the vocal chain right into analog. And that was all that was done to the vocal all the way through the mix. Nothing else, and that says a lot for her and how she understands how to work a mic, how to sing, how to change the tone of her voice. If it was too bottom, too much bottom, or too much anything, that's a little woofy there. And she'd change, and literally address these issues because she knew how to use her instrument. So that's what comes to mind when you ask that question.
Okay, he brings up the M76M. Y'all come back after dinner. We're going to talk about preamps. We got to talk about preamps. And we'll go, I promise, we'll knock off by 10.
All right, so let's give these guys a hand and thank them for coming to dinner.